DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essif. Monsignor Essif is a priest in the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essif encountered Saint Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by St. Pope John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essif. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Well, what's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Today, I really believe that on this 20th Sunday of Ordinary Time, that the church wants to teach her children, God loves the whole world. God wants all to be saved, all the nations, all the peoples. And I think Isaiah, as a prophet, trumpets it. The Jews really were, oh, God has chosen this nation. But Isaiah is saying, no, he's there for everyone, and the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And Paul certainly today just says, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. And Jesus is telling his disciples and us today, I have first come for the Jews, and I want to be, my Father sent me first for the Jews. But then that same Jesus, after he suffered and died and rose from the dead, go out to all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So God has come for the salvation of all peoples. I think, beloved brothers and sisters, or whoever going to be listening to this podcast, that God loves everyone. God wants the salvation of all mankind. God hears the prayers of every human being. Why is that so important today? Because I really honestly believe that there's some preachers and some who are teaching that this world has gotten so wicked. Can you imagine that? How could we become more wicked than God is loving? The mercy of God is greater than the misery of man. Wickedness, no matter how you get it to be, can never get to the point where it overwhelms the mercy of God. God is infinite. No matter what we drum up our wickedness as, it's finite. Isaiah says it so beautifully. Thus says the Lord, observe what is right, do what is just, for my salvation is about to come, my justice about to be revealed. The Gentiles who join themselves to the Lord, ministering to him, loving the name of the Lord, and becoming his servants, all who keep the Sabbath free from profanation and hold to my covenant, them I will bring to my holy mountain and make joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. That's exactly what Jesus wanted when he said, as he entered the temple, God's house is a house of prayer for all people. And that house is within you. Every person who has been baptized, you have a house of prayer within you. Your house is a consecrated temple. The Father is in you. Jesus is in you. And the Holy Spirit dwells with you. And St. Paul certainly says this today. And in Romans, brothers and sisters, I am speaking to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I glory in my ministry in order to make my race jealous and thus save some of them, because the Jews have rejected, even though the first converts to the church were all Jewish, the apostles were Jewish, the first 3,000, 5,000, most of them were Jewish and priests of the Jews. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? So there is that great hope. I mean, so many different Jews in my experience these past days have become members of the church and baptized. For the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. Just as you once disobeyed God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now disobeyed in order that by virtue of the mercy shown to you, Gentiles, they too, the Jews, may now receive the mercy of God. For God delivered all to disobedience, that he might have mercy upon all. Our Father has a universal love. Our Father loves every single person that he created. Today, Jesus is showing us by his example in Matthew's gospel. Let me first say what Matthew was trying to do in general by his gospel. He was really comparing Moses and Jesus. And he wanted to show the Jews by the writing of his gospel, because he wrote it toward the end of the first century. He wanted them to know that this gospel that was being preached was that Jesus is greater than Moses. And so many times he would compare Moses and Jesus, but Jesus was the greater. And so in the 15th chapter, the 21st verse, at that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman at that district came and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not say a word in answer to her. Jesus' disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps on calling you, and she's coming after us." He said in reply, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. My Father wants me first to come to the Jewish people. I'm only going to do what my Father asked." But the woman came and did Jesus homage, saying, "Lord, help me." He said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." That's really, doesn't that sound wow? Shouldn't that have turned her away or gotten under her skin to hear this Jewish rabbi talk about her? Actually, it's modern Lebanon. I could see some Lebanese woman just really getting upset with that. She said, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." That really reaches the heart of Jesus. Then Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And the woman's daughter was healed from that hour. You know, as an exorcist, you know, I think it's really powerful that Jesus, who has given to his priests the power to drive out demons, dear priests who are listening, that this is such a power that we have to drive out demons. But to come back and to complete my, Jesus, during his lifetime, spent his whole time within the perimeters of Israel. He had come to save the people from whom he came and took his flesh, his origin. But he was and is the Son of God. He then, who is the maker of all mankind, without him no one came to be. Of the 6.5 billion or 7 billion people in this world, he made every one of them. And he loves what he created. And he came and he suffered and he died and he rose in the year 33 for all of mankind. And when he rose, he told his disciples, "Go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And know that I am with you all days, even to the end of time." Oh, beloved fellow Christian, that's who you are. You are Jesus in the world today. So much does he love you. It's not like the Jew that he came to save. He came on a mountain and he gave them a law which none of them ever kept. They just couldn't keep it. They kept falling and falling. How could they possibly love the Lord with all their heart, without their soul, with all their mind, with their broken nature that was in original sin? How could they possibly love him with their whole hearts and their whole minds and their whole beings without Jesus coming to them? They couldn't, unless God, who is the Son of God, sent his Son into the world to become one of them, a Jew. Jesus is Jewish. God is universal. Jesus had a Jewish mother. That's his nationality. And so he came to save this nation. But he is not just a Jew. In his humanity, he is. But as God, he is the Son of the Father, who is the Father of all mankind. and he wants to bring us all into divine adoption and sonship, including the Jews and the Gentiles. He has come for all mankind. I can't help but think, though, this woman, this Lebanese lady who comes to him, and I think it's amazing how her words top his, you know? Yeah, you can, that's right. You came for the Jews, but these little puppies can have some scraps that fall from the table. Oh, woman, great is your faith. So then he gives her what she wants. What was it that she wanted? She wanted the deliverance of her daughter from the demons. You know, a Chinese mother has come to me, and she's gone all over. And I hope you priests would listen to this, or some of you. The only one that has the power, she brings him to the priest. She really, but there's, and this mother, because her son is possessed, is 20 years old. Deliver him, Chinese mother, young Chinese man. Deliver him. Who? No one but Jesus can do this. That's why Jesus came. When I was in Peru, the mothers used to come, and some of the spirits had infested and possessed their children. The power of Jesus to continue to deliver humankind, the power and heal. Do you know where that is today, beloved brothers and sisters, as you go to Mass? It's there on the altar. The offering that we have, as Isaiah was talking about today in his great contemplation and message to us, what is that that is being offered in prayer on our altar? It is the suffering and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not if the offering that comes before the Lord, that in the offering of the Old Testament, that I will bring to my holy mountain those who make joyful my house of prayer, their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar. What do you have? What do you have to offer today? You have the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ on our altar. Jesus today is coming to our families, to our parish, to our altars. Jesus is coming today to come into us in Holy Communion. The power of Jesus is so with us today. And that's why my house shall be called the house of prayer for all peoples. Because through him and with him and in him, we have made it a house of prayer. And therefore, what is there that he can't deliver us from? Our sins? O Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. Our demons? Our salvation. Only say the word, and our soul shall be healed. Jesus Christ today wants the salvation of all mankind. And God, who wants that salvation, has sent us his Son as our Savior and our Redeemer for the whole entire world. Surely, during this year, it's a year of mercy. It's a year of salvation, a year of hope.
A final thought, Monsignor?
The beautiful response of Psalm 67. O God, let all the nations praise you. The Philippines, Mexico, Korea, China, Russia. O God, let all the nations praise you. May God have pity on us and bless us. May he let his face shine upon us. So may your ways be known upon earth, among all nations, your salvation. God bless.
Thank you so much, Monsignor.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essif. To hear and or to download this episode, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essif.